Hello to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's Travis Hornsby, and if I look and sound tired, it's because I am. The reason is just, the usual stuff, having a couple toddlers that are a lot of work, but student loan reasons in terms of work-related stuff, I'm just really tired with all the baloney that's going on, and I'm going to cover it for y'all so that you don't have to feel alone. So what is currently going on? What is the current state of things as at the time that I recorded this? That's my caveat. Is the very conservative Eighth Circuit Court basically said that we're going to grant a preliminary injunction against the SAVE plan. This was on top of the temporary injunction they already had in place. And so if I look at this provision, what they said is everything about the SAVE plan is going to stay locked down. What they said is until this court or the Supreme Court decides. What does that mean? It means the lower court decisions in the SAVE plan are basically pointless. If you have like the Kansas case and they say actually SAVE is okay, the administration cannot go out and immediately start implementing everything because this court ruling from the Eighth Circuit says so. Everything just kind of skips that lower court level because it's irrelevant anyway, and it's going to go straight, I think, to the Eighth Circuit and possibly the appeals court for Kansas as well. Really, I think what we're going to be waiting on is this Eighth Circuit ruling, and it's either going to be decided there or it's going to go to the Supreme Court. What I think is this guarantees it goes to the Supreme Court because either they say actually SAVE is okay, which would be shocking, but by granting a preliminary injunction, what they're saying is that they don't think it's okay. You know, that's what they're sort of previewing. You don't grant a preliminary injunction unless it's very likely not legal, the thing you're blocking. And they've raised skepticism about things like, does the ICR statute even allow for forgiveness? And that's a little bit spooky because what their point is, well, IBR exists. And so if IBR exists and allows forgiveness, then why should the ICR plan allow for any forgiveness? So this is just really, you know, like I said, a big mess. You know, I would not be surprised if we get a very conservative ruling out of the Eighth Circuit about the SAVE plan, but then that'll go to the Supreme Court. And then the question with the Supreme Court is will be like, how exactly do they turn it down if that's what we expect to happen, which we think it is. In terms of the Supreme Court making the final say, you know, that's not going to happen and probably until 2025 sometime. What I hope will happen is that Department of Ed will open up that online application so people can get out another IBR plan or something like that, like IBR, Pay, ICR, etc. And I hope they'll do that soon. Now, by the time this podcast comes out, this might have already happened. I will be pleasantly surprised if that's what occurs, if they open it up. That's where we're at right now, is everyone's in this forbearance that was in SAVE, and your interest is paused, but your payments are frozen, but they're not counting for anything. And so this is like a big frustration for people, because if you can't get credit for forgiveness, you're sort of stuck in place. Also, people tend to earn a lot more later in their career than right now, so that's also preventing a lot of people from getting qualifying payments. You know, if you're going for something like PSLF, like you're a resident physician, once all this mess is sorted out, if you're on the SAVE plan forbearance, you should be able to buy back the credit that you would have had during this time. So that's the good news. I'll tell you the truth. If I was a resident physician pursuing PSLF, if they allowed me to switch into the IBR plan just to keep my credit count going and not having to rely on some program to apply to later, I would switch, just to be straight with you. And we have to have Department of Ed allow that to happen to be able to do that. So we're just all waiting around trying to see when could that occur, when will that occur. And we just have to wait for them to unblock that online application. So with this being a preliminary injunction versus like this temporary injunction that was going on, this is a more solid, permanent type of pause on the SAVE plan until they make a ruling. So this really means, I think, you know, Department of Ed has no excuse for waiting around to get all this out there. I think that they need to hurry up and just set it up again so that people can get on to a new IBR plan, because it's not right what they're doing. So let's talk about some other stuff. So you might have heard about the opt-out provision or had gotten a question about that in your inbox. This is related to this cancellation program that Biden is doing. The cancellation program is, well, basically it's this Plan B cancellation, where when they had the first version of their plan shot down, this is their second attempt. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to go after canceling accrued interest. So they're trying to do this two different ways. One way would be people below certain income thresholds could get all of their interest canceled that's accrued. People that of any income level could get a $10,000 to $20,000 type amount canceled. So that's kind of like the broad brushstrokes of the plan. And it's something that could potentially survive legal challenge, although I don't expect it will. But this is a program designed for the political season that's designed to roll out in October. So obviously we know what's going on here. You know, this is obviously specifically designed to try to make folks happy going into that November election. And, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris have been pretty much on the same side of things, student loan-wise, and she's been very involved in the student loan policymaking aspect of things. So that means that all the Biden policies are pretty much just going to sort of get picked up like an Olympic baton and passed and just continue to be carried forward, right? That's what we're going to continue to see with some of these programs from the Biden administration. It's just going to be a continuation on the student loan front, particularly if Vice President Harris wins. One positive, if I'm going to pick some positives out of this Eighth Circuit ruling that happened, is they did not say that pausing all the interest while they're litigating all this was illegal. So they could have done that, but they didn't. So I mean, at least that's a good thing for borrowers. At least you don't have to watch your balance grow in the middle of all this. Now, for this cancellation program, let me just talk a little bit more about that. So this interest cancellation program, there's an extra part of this that the Biden administration might be adding to it. They're trying to, I think, thread the needle here to try to get something that might pass muster that they're trying to just balance things out, basically, right? So if you think about what they want to do, this interest cancellation thing is nice, but it's not really going far enough for the sort of activist base that really wants to see a lot of student loan relief. And so the administration agreed to come out with something basically that's called like hardship forgiveness. And you can get hardship forgiveness for like over a dozen categories. I think it's like 17. It's things like being on food assistance, Section 8 housing. I mean, like there's a whole bunch of different reasons. I think childcare challenges is one of the reasons. I mean, really you could read this as anybody could apply for loan forgiveness and get almost all of it forgiven if they fall in any category of hardship whatsoever. And this is what activists believe should be the case, right? This is what they believe good policy is. And they're pushing the administration to adopt their view of what good policy is on student debt. And the administration was kind of hesitant on this policy, similarly to how they were hesitant on the 10K cancellation program. But they've come around to it, and the administration is pushing it. And the hardship part of things, like we'll see how they handle the balancing of all these different programs they've got going on. But the reason people got a request to decide if you wanted to opt out of something, the reason for that is because of the legal stuff. So the Biden administration knows that the cancellation case, there were some people who had standing because they were going to get automated cancellation, but they lived in states with an income tax. So they were bringing a lawsuit to stop them getting an income tax bill because they were going for certain types of loan forgiveness. Now, this was just a route for proponents of this program to block it. That was the point of it, of course. But so the reason for the opt-out message is not because you might want to opt out of it. It's because they have to put an opt-out out there to try to satisfy to try to stop people from suing and blocking it with having legal grounds to bring a lawsuit against this program. So this is all so confusing, right? If you think about the benefits the Biden and Harris administration have gotten student loan borrowers, it's been enormous. If you think about the confusion that they've brought borrowers, it has also been enormous. I'm not going to pretend here like the student loan system wasn't really totally messed up before either, but we have the consequences of not having consensus on this really what's become a very partisan issue, to be honest. So I hope in this election season that maybe student loans become boring again. I wouldn't mind that. I'd just probably just be more of a financial planning in general if that were to occur, but I don't think, unfortunately, it will. So I want to just lift you up and encourage you in your job right now. You know, you're having to deal with all this baloney on student debt. Maybe it's preventing you from feeling like you can get ahead. Maybe it's making your head spin. Maybe you're just like, I just feel nauseous about all this, and I just don't want to think about my debt until all this mess is decided. Well, let me encourage you. Think about this like income taxes. If they take away the SAVE plan, it's kind of like an income tax increase. It's not pleasant. Nobody wants it. But if income taxes go up, by definition, you can afford it because of it being a percentage of your income. It's a higher percentage of your income. You might have to cut back on spending. You might have to budget more carefully. It might be very unpleasant, but that would be what I would try to encourage folks with is, you know, the income-based repayment program. If you took out loans for the first time in July 2014 or after, it's 10% of your income and 150% of the poverty line as your deduction. That is not as good as SAVE, which is 225% of the poverty line, right? but it's still better than $3,000 a month on a $300,000 loan. So even with all this mess, even with all this ridiculousness, I mean, there are some real positives. You know, interest is paused for people that are on this save plan uncertainty forbearance. People that are on pay or IBR are still making progress towards forgiveness. There's nothing under threat with those programs. I think that it's just real important whenever we're having to deal with all this mess, just to be positive, even though I've got a cold, even though this is just an absolute headache to go through with you guys. I say that with the utmost respect, of course, is somebody who's trying to help you, guide you through this versus somebody who's experiencing it, having no student debt myself. The big thing to think about right now is just be patient, be present. Take that part of your brain that thinks about your student debt and put it in the back of your brain. And just focus on some of these other things that you can do, like growing your wealth, having a really fun date night that you plan, planning a fun vacation, making sure your retirement account's set up the right way, making sure you've got tax planning going on, or making sure your plan for how you're going to do charitable donations this coming year. So not to say that student debt is not something we're going to have to think about a whole lot in the coming months. It is, and this is a student loan podcast, right? So we'll definitely be talking about it. But I'll just say again, just to recap everything, Eighth Circuit Court, this conservative court with almost all of its judges are appointed by Republican presidents, they've said pretty much they think SAVE is illegal, at least in some way. And so they're blocking it on a more permanent basis until they or the Supreme Court make a ruling. So that's what's going on. And then for borrowers, you're stuck in this like no interest but no payment credit world with the SAVE. You're on SAVE. If you're not, you're still paying payments. But if you're still stuck in that world of if you're stuck with frozen interest but you're not getting any credit towards forgiveness, then again, hopefully Department of Ed just makes all that online application unblocked and allows people to go ahead and get their credit going again by switching plans. So we unfortunately just have to be patient, wait on them to do that. When we have an update on that, I'll let all of you know. And then recall that we've got a new podcast format. We're going to be doing a Tuesday and a Friday show going forward. You know, I just want to talk about something super exciting and happy and positive, and growing wealth and all the hacks that can get you to where you want to be in life are really fun and can be really fun. And I want to make sure that we have something that's really positive and exciting that balances out some of this doom and gloom student loan news sometimes. So that's why one of the reasons we're moving to this twice a week pod format. We're going to be doing Tuesdays is like the normal SLP show, and then Fridays is going to be a wealth growth show. So the Fridays is going to be a lot more just like hacks, success stories, people out there doing cool stuff, tips we're seeing work really good in our financial planning business for people that are just really helping them make progress towards their goals a lot faster. We want to take whatever in your head that you have, like buying a vacation home, going on the Orient Express in Europe or something, like hiking the Appalachian Trail and taking 2 months off of work to do it, or I don't know, whatever it is your thing is, we want to make you get there a lot faster. So I think this pod, if you like having something to listen to in the way to your morning commute, I think you're going to really enjoy this because it's like the only wealth growth show dedicated to professionals who often have student debt that I know of. That's what's coming next. Really excited. Really appreciate you guys for listening. And yeah, I hope you have a great rest of your week. And if you need help with the student loan consult, studentloanplanner.com/book. Thank you, everybody, and take care.